Welcome to this month's first episode of Real Geeks. I'm, of course, Mike, joined by Paula and Nikki. And this episode, we'll be talking the Joker. And I don't know about you guys, but I was coming to this review going, I don't know what we're going to do. Because normally with this show, we're making jokes and being silly to either celebrate the movies that we think are really good, or to thoroughly mock the movies that are really bad.
I wouldn't mock this movie because
we can't do either one.
There's no jokes to be
made.
You can't mock it because it might kill you.
Frankly.
Yeah, this movie's the devil. That's actually what I thought, is like, oh, you know when sometimes religious people say, I saw the face of the devil? That movie is the face of the devil.
It is, yeah.
As much as I generally don't go to final thoughts and just about ratings this quickly, what I am going to say right now, if you have any concerns whatsoever about whether or not you can handle the material in this movie,
Don't go.
No, because I'm going to tell you right now, the answer is no, you can't.
Yeah, no. I've covered organized crime, and I was shaking after seeing this movie. These things shouldn't happen.
No.
Yet that film is going to get someone killed. And it's not because, if media influenced violence, everyone would be violent. It's like, no, for 99.999% of people. But for that one tiny percent, this is going to... can we get to spoilers? Would you like to do a thing first?
You know what? I was actually just thinking to myself that I don't know how to do even general thoughts beyond this point without going at least spoiler-ish.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. This movie covers mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of help for mental health. It covers gun violence. It covers dysfunctional families. There are various kinds of mental health that are covered. I think schizophrenia, narcissism, depression, obviously.
Yeah.
And
sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse. And how much... not just sexual abuse, but partner abuse as well.
Mm-hmm.
So having all the cutbacks to social assistance, to mental health, to that kind of care... and how detrimental it is to those that need it the most. So yeah, if you have any triggers that fall on those lines, see this movie.
Yeah.
Don't.
Okay.
Yeah, just assume that there's basically every trigger warning you could imagine.
Yeah.
Because...
every single thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so the very last scene is like... Pure DC Joker. He's being questioned by a psychiatrist and kills him. Sweet, cool. That was great. That was a good scene. It was like artistic murder because you don't see it, but like
you don't. But you see the bloody footprints. I thought that was great.
So cool. But right before that is a scene where having murdered what's his name, Robert De Niro, whoever his character's
Murray
name.
Something or other.
Murray. having murdered him on national television. The cops are taking him to a holding, because obviously he's been arrested, and a mob happens. And it's kind of like the great chaos that was in Dark Knight.
Yeah, because I was just like that scene. I was literally just waiting for Joaquin Phoenix to have his head out the window of the police car while they're driving, because
it was so close.
Yeah, it's such a blatant Dark Knight reference.
Yeah, and that. Well, exactly, and like they have an emergency vehicle plow into that vehicle, and it's like this is all wonderfully perfect Joker. The problem is, this is after like essentially celebrating all of this violence, and the mob takes the Joker and puts him on top of a squad car in the middle of this riotous mob, while the Waynes get murdered because directly influence of his murder of Murray on television. Leads to a murder in real life or their real life, but like he's doing his dancing thing and they're like cheering, and it's like that's the moment. This moment right here is going to get someone killed, because imagine if that was like the Columbine shooters.
And yeah.
At the end, they're just like, "You really got those fuckers." People are going to die.
Oh, no, like not even Columbine. Like you can't
anyway.
Talk about things like that without going straight to Aurora.
Aurora, yeah. And there are people online who celebrate those people. And that's essentially it. All you saw was an allegory, an analog allegory, of people online celebrating murderers.
No, and like also with that, and with them working in the Waynes being killed during this mob, when like the second that happened, I just went, "Oh, fuck you," because that is the one moment that people have complained over and over that we don't want to see in Batman movies anymore, because it's been done so many times.
And not only has it been...
Well, it's done more as the origin story for Batman.
Yeah.
Having it done this way, that... being one of those ones that complains about the constant reboot and the constant origin story being done over again, this was completely different. Now, for me, having watched Batman with Michael Keaton, my favorite Batman, there's that scene where the person that shoots the Waynes says, "Have you ever danced the devil in the pale moonlight?" And then he hears it again years later from the Joker. So the person that becomes the Joker created Batman, and then Batman created the Joker.
Yeah.
That kind of went hand in hand with this. No, it wasn't the person that we know to be bad to be the Joker, but it was a Joker.
Yeah. And you kind of get the sense that, like, you know, okay, Joker's probably gonna stew for a while. He's gonna murder some people, whatever, but he's not gonna really amp up to Joker level until Batman appears, and then, like, all of that's gonna come back and then, like, exaggerate, and at some point he's gonna find out that, like, oh, you're Bruce Wayne. Family time.
Yeah.
Oh, probably.
But
for me with that, it was, like I said, this has been done and done and done and done to the point that people don't really want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
But also to have done it in a film where the director has flat out said, like, Robert Pattinson's Batman will meet the Joker presumably at some point. It will not be this Joker. And said, like, there are no plans to do... He has said, I'm not going to do another movie with this Joker. We're not going to see this Joker again.
Which sucks, because as much as I'm not a huge fan of Joaquin Phoenix, he was perfectly cast.
Oh, he absolutely was.
His level of crazy was perfect. It made this character.
Yeah, that might be the greatest performance I've ever seen, ever, in a film I never want to really see again.
No, and, like, I actually ran into Trevor at the theater after I saw the movie, and one of the things that I did specifically say to him was, Joaquin Phoenix is probably the only actor who could play this Joker.
Yeah.
He is also the only actor who would play this Joker.
Yeah, when you look at this and go, oh, Heath Ledger really held back. Heath Ledger held back.
Yeah. With the talk of Joaquin Phoenix being in Oscar contention for this role,
for good reason,
could he get the nom for this? Absolutely.
Nom, yes.
Would he get it? This is a wonderful role that the Academy may not want to celebrate.
Yeah.
Like, quite simply, this is not a comic book movie. This is a straight up horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, for me as someone in terms of monsters in film, I was, like I said in our It review, that movie bored me. And a lot of that stems from the simple fact that supernatural horror does not scare me. The horror monsters that could exist
are the ones that are humans.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that scare me more.
It's actually very funny.
Yeah.
All you need to be truly terrified, like to the point that you're shaking in a movie theater and worried that someone's gonna fucking kill you, is Joaquin Phoenix doing this. And then you look at the budget that they spent on it to try to make the clown into a spider that then did, and it's like, wow, that's really fascinating, because you literally made a monster that was like mind-breaking horror stuff, and everyone just goes, yeah, all right. And Joaquin Phoenix just kind of is weird, and you're like, I don't want to be in this room anymore. I don't want to be here.
No. And in terms of the plot that we haven't hit, because in all honesty, in some ways, there's just not much of one.
I mean, the plot's more or less, everyone kind of knows the plot.
Yeah, like this is basically almost the standard descent into madness of a character story surrounding a character that in a lot of ways is already mad.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the killing joke.
surprisingly, for having ejected so much, claiming especially to have ejected so much of the mythos, it is just the killing joke, but with a few added things of background detail. Like, in the killing joke, we don't know what Jack Napier's history is.
Yeah.
Here we know his history. Okay, now we know. But you could have just slid that in and it would have been fine.
The fact that early on they beat you over the head with the fact that he has mental health issues becomes completely unnecessary. And some would say that it's almost using mental health as a way to excuse his behavior.
Yeah. Especially since he becomes more stable when he stops taking his meds.
Yeah.
He becomes more violent and whatever, but he's more stable. He's kind of committed to it.
He's accepted himself.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to fit into society. And that's one of the things that he commented on, or that he wrote down in his journal. One of the problems with having a mental illness is that people expect you to act like you don't.
Hmm.
And that is so very true. And I mean, I have mental illness.
Yeah.
I think 99.9% of my friends have mental illness in some form or other. And even if that's just depression, that's like it's like the spider sitting on a web and it's connected to everything else. And it's labeled as depression, but how many things is that label masking? Because it's, it's just depression. No, there's a whole lot of other stuff connected to it. And that's what he's going through. He doesn't have just depression. Where does the label stop? Where does it overlap? And what kind of help can he get that would actually work? And then cutting off the help? Not a good idea.
No.
No.
Also, with a lot of the comparisons this movie has been getting, I can see a lot of comparisons to, like, early 80s Scorsese.
Yeah. No one went as hard as this.
Scorsese, we're going to be doing a B-roll after this, because Scorsese, we need to have a few words. But also, there is one comparison that nobody is making, at least not in the media, and I told you guys to check out 1993's Falling Down, starring Michael Douglas, because personally, as soon as I saw the first trailer for Joker, Falling Down was straight where my brain went. And in all honesty, I think Falling Down does the descent into madness thing better than this movie does. Simply because with Michael Douglas' character in that movie, it's a very subtle, you think he's had all these little things happen to him just over the course of a day. And he's hit that point where he's finally just snapped and is escalating and escalating.
That's the way it appears until you actually find out some more of his history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the time about the second half of the movie starts, it's like, oh shit, this guy actually has serious issues.
Yeah, his wife divorced him because she was afraid of him. he's now living with his mother, and his mother's terrified of him.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't even want to walk into his room. No, you can't be in his room. He won't like that. That's not a normal relationship. And so it's a question of which came first, the chicken or the egg, the mental illness or everything that came because of the mental illness. So that's, yeah, it's the same point.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the same point. Falling Down, in a lot of ways, does subtly what Joker can get a little ham-fisted with, which is why I would recommend Falling Down over Joker in a lot of ways. There's that same idea of this is how a society has failed people who need help.
Yeah.
And in some ways, again, does it better or at least more digestible
than
Joker.
Yeah. Because things are played for dry comedy, whereas there's only one moment of dry comedy in this when he walks into the exit only door at the hospital, and it's not even Joker making a joke. Like, Heath Ledger had jokes. They were horrible jokes, but like the minute that he does the pen gag or the pencil gag, that's a joke. The first time you see it, it is so startling, but cartoonish and bloodless that you can't help but like kind of nervously laugh at that. Nothing Joaquin Phoenix does except walk into that door, which is unintentional, is funny. It's all terrifying.
Now, as much as usually we'd go probably a lot further with this, normally our recording time is like an hour. Unless either you have anywhere else you want to go, I'm willing to go into final thoughts and ratings now, because I don't know where to go further with this.
I can't wait for this film to be forgotten.
I think
it's difficult to say if you enjoyed the movie because of the subject matter.
Yeah, if you run across anyone who says this is their favorite film,
walk away. They might have notes somewhere.
I'm sitting here going, if you enjoyed this movie, I can see why. Because I think taking it strictly as a film, there is a lot of wonderful, high-quality stuff here. Like, Joaquin Phoenix's performance is amazing. The cinematography can be beautiful to look at.
Yeah, they're setting... They did a really nice redesign of, like, Gotham come New York mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible detail, with the exception of how quick stuff happens. They kind of treat the events as if it's modern day and everyone has social media. And, like, they're wearing masks that are all the same mask because it's supposed to be, like, V for Vendettas, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not how stuff in the 70s worked.
No.
That would have taken years, and you still would have had, like, a couple of hardcore lunatics, not an entire city, burning the place down. They should have had something like... There was an event of a massive riot in New York. It took a power outage. They should have had that coincide.
Yeah.
Just absolute random chance coincide. Like, how did the television broadcast get cut off? Power outage. And at that very moment, after seeing him do that and hearing his words, everyone just goes ballistic. That could have worked.
Like I said, on one end, if you thoroughly enjoyed this movie, I can see why. If you hate everything about this film and find it thoroughly offensive, I can see why. So, for me, like, normally this, a movie of this, like, just pure objective cinematic quality, I would go with a 5. In this case, I don't think I can go higher than a 3, because this is a wonderful film that I cannot in good conscience recommend. I cannot tell someone you should go see this. If you have mental health issues of any sort and you're thinking about seeing this movie, talk to someone who already knows the film and knows you first.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going with a
3.
3? Higher than I expected.
Hi, so unfortunately it was at this point that the camera app on my phone actually crashed, and we discovered that when we had finished recording, and while we were able to salvage Mickey's review and the wrap-up, unfortunately we didn't realize until well after leaving the library that Paula's rating was pretty much lost. So very quickly... Paula and I were pretty much of the same mindset in that we felt that the acting in Joker was just incredible. Visually, it's incredibly well done, but the material is so dark and intense that she, as I did, had a lot of trouble being able to recommend it. So while from a technical standpoint, and again in terms of Joaquin Phoenix's performance, she wanted to go to a 5, but as she put it on Facebook Messenger afterward, the subject matter just messes with it so much that I'd give it a 3.5. If people think they won't be triggered, then yeah, go. So, like as we said several times over the course of recording, you're going to want to essentially judge this for yourself and judge it very carefully. So with that, back to Mickey's final rating and the wrap-up.
So yeah, as for rating, I think I'm going to do something that is either incredibly brave or incredibly stupid. The internet will let me know, I'm sure. I give the production a 4. Joaquin Phoenix, of course, probably a 5. He should have an Oscar, and we should never talk about this film again. I give the film itself and the director for being both societally irresponsible and essentially having a 2-hour wine fest from the director as to how no one likes him anymore. I give you a 0. I give you a Gene Wilder 0.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I had said to Trevor last night, like, basically, I will never say that a film should not be made. Mm. Should this movie have been made now? Not so much.
I don't think there's ever a good time to make this kind of movie.
It's...
If this was made in the 70s, I could see it working better because there wouldn't be the social media to help spread it. Also, because most theaters were independent at the time, you'd have a lot fewer places showing it. So you'd have kids watching it, but you'd have to go through the traditional effort to find it. It would be like Cannibal Holocaust. You have to find someone who has a copy, and that alone would be difficult. I feel like the difficulty in trying to find it would have helped this. It should have been made in the 70s.
Yeah, like, this, I think, could have gone... This could have been, like, a Clockwork Orange.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very difficult at the time to see. The entire country has banned it. And instead of being a thing where you can just go find it somewhere else, that was it until, like, years later you came across, usually in a different language, a VHS copy.
Part of the problem, though, is that A Clockwork Orange has a cult following, and that alone gives it credence.
Well, also, as well, Clockwork Orange, and one, I'm a massive Kubrick nerd, and two, I've read the original book. Clockwork Orange is not the director looking at the camera and going, here's how I feel. It's Kubrick going, this is a really interesting aspect of how we try to deal with people who have problems.
Yeah, no, I got as far as the snake in the drawer and I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
I could see that. I've honestly never seen A Clockwork Orange myself.
Here's the thing about A Clockwork Orange. The point of the film isn't until the last 10 minutes of it. You have to sit through all of that stuff as, like, primer. And then the point of the film happens, which is he gets brainwashed as a manner of trying to curb his antisocial problems. But because you're trying to patch something rather than fix the inherent problem of it, it doesn't work. And it ends up him getting victimized by people who are considered to be normal. They're his former victims. And they victimize him. And so the entire point is, you can't just pretend that everything's going to be fine. There are systemic issues that have to be addressed. So at no point does it go, this is a valid perspective, or this is how I feel. It's just simply about, like, not patching over problems and ignoring them. That's what A Clockwork Orange is about. But you have to watch 2 hours of insane intensity to get to that.
And with you mentioning that scene with the snake in the drawer,
and
my thing with snakes, I'm kind of going, probably just not going to watch it.
Yeah. No, you've been forewarned.
But some of that next week. We'll be back. Maybe with Trevor.
I'll be working the advance poll for the elections. For the love of all that's holy, please go out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just go out and vote.
I'm going to say it just as long as it's not Andrew Scheer.
I didn't say that.
I have no problem saying it.
What the hell with him?
Maybe we'll have Trevor back next week. Maybe we won't. I generally never know. But one way or the other, we'll be discussing Will Smith's latest film and Ang Lee's maybe return to North American cinema. I have no idea. Gemini Man. And then next month, we'll be discussing Terminator Dark Fate and Charlie's Angels. Somehow the film I'm looking forward to more. Because, in all honesty, it looks like my kind of just pure insanity.
Yeah, give me popcorn. Give me popcorn.
Exactly.
For eating or throwing?
Both. Okay. All.
And either way, unlike this review, I swear we'll be funny. It'll honestly happen. Before that, you'll be able to find, outside of the studio, most of us in some capacity, we'll be attending HalCon at the end of this month, the 25th to the 27th. I'll be there as an attendee, because frankly, I'm just never not.
Yeah.
I know you'll be there vending.
I will be out of the broom closet. We'll be setting up with jewelry, and I'll be sharing space with Cheerful and Kiki.
Trevor might be there with his wife. Vending as adorable adoptables.
Last I heard, they were waitlisted, but they haven't had an update. So I know that I was talking about CaperCon. They're hoping to be there the Saturday.
Yeah. So maybe he'll just be there on a day pass. There's a prison joke there.
Do not equate parenthood with prison. No.
Yeah, you get out of prison.
Yeah.
Between the numerous baby jail jokes I've already made at Trevor's expense, and you get day passes to get out of prison, at this point it just writes itself. But until then, and the simple fact that this is the second time we've had to record the closing.
Which, like, come on, that I decently recovered my entire...
You did!
That's very true!
That was from memory.
Until then, until next week, that's a wrap.
Bye, guys.
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.